everyone. Welcome back to Katamita. This is our fourth episode, and today we're going to be talking about traveling. I'm Yusuf.
And I'm Zuby.
Today's episode is inspired by how we've both gone on trips recently after losing our mom. And they were such different experiences than what we're kind of used to, because we're both kind of avid travelers. And, you know, because of that, traveling is something we both love and do a healthy amount of.
Yeah, I really love traveling. I think I started getting bitten by the travel bug in school, and I just feel like since then it opens us up to new experiences and cultures, and you just have these, it's kind of an investment when it comes to your memories. It'll just pay in dividends for years to come. So it's just really exciting for me to go places and see things that are done or work in a different way than what I'm used to. And I'm a sucker for a gorgeous landscape and a beautiful picture and just, you know, standing somewhere and feeling in awe of whatever is in front of me. You know, I've just, that is just such a special experience for me. And the other thing that I really have, I think that I enjoy and I remember a lot is the people I meet and the conversations I have. Mm-hmm. And so I think it just opens your mind up to so much more when you have those conversations. Yeah. And then when it's someplace different, you mm-hmm. realize that, you know, people can think differently from you and yeah. and whatnot. And so I really love that. And since my boys were little, you know, we've been traveling and trying to, you know, just get them accustomed to that. And they're pretty spoiled now.
For sure. I mean, I feel like I traveled plenty growing up, like with mommy and with our parents. Like I was really lucky that they were kind of like, oh, they were willing to drive to New Jersey to go see our cousins or.
I'm just saying, like, that was our vacation.
Right.
We didn't actually go anywhere.
Yeah.
As a, like, quote, vacation.
Right.
Like, you know, an all-inclusive resort in Mexico. Like, that was for not sure. going to happen growing up.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like, I think I was exposed to traveling a healthy amount growing up. So it wasn't, like, this huge special thing for me until I, like, met my travel people, you know, mm-hmm. and then I was like, I realized how really special traveling can be when you're in the right place with the right people, or how the right people can make any place the right place. But, so before we get to talking about traveling a little generally, I do kind of want to explore what it was like to try our hand at something we love, like taking a trip, but after such a huge trauma that we experienced, like losing our mom. So, Zuby, let me ask you, as such a big traveler, what was your last big trip like, and how does it compare to previous experiences?
So, my last big trip was a pretty big first trip. It was my first time to Europe. Mm-hmm. I always had Italy as number one, like, on my bucket list of places I wanted to go. So, when I knew I was going to be turning 40, I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Italy sometime in that year when I turn 40. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, made it a goal, booked it and planned everything, you know, well before mommy had passed away. I had made it a goal that I wanted to use my points and miles to cover the cost. So I booked a business class on Emirates with that. So that was lovely, and it was a really good experience on the flight. Just that in itself was very different to previous experiences because the flight experience was so different. I was going by myself. Everything was planned by myself, but I was going to be by myself. I didn't have to plan for anybody else. That's just the big thing is mm-hmm. doing what I want when I want.
Mm-hmm. Period.
And that was very, very different. So that's not so much related to, you know, what happened, but it gave me that space to really be with Zuby by myself for 2 weeks to think, to do what I want, when I want, and just be in my own head and be responsible only for myself, which was really different and nice. It was refreshing. It was rejuvenating. And for several months, I had been preparing, listening to podcasts, reading everything and anything about Italy to prepare. And it actually was therapeutic planning the trip. But after mommy died, the depression just took over. And I didn't want to, I just didn't have the interest in it. Yeah. I lost my interest in planning for the trip. And, you know, you just kind of get that.
I can imagine there was a lot of feelings of, I have to stay here now. I have to make sure I have my hands in the pot. I have to make sure that, not hands in the pot the way I have my hands in the pot, but,
you're abandoning. Right. Like, you're abandoning the people that need you. Yeah, there was definitely some of that. And also just, like, the lack of pleasure of anything. You know, you just, when you're depressed and feeling like that, you don't feel like you should have any happiness. Right. And also, nothing does really bring you any happiness. So I was like, well, what's the point? I'm not going to enjoy myself anyway.
Yeah. Can I ask, were there any feelings of, would mommy still want me to go on this trip?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which I did struggle with a little bit, because I know when I told her, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to go by myself, of course she was like, what? You're going to do what? Why? What's wrong? You know, like,
my adult child?
Yeah.
Making adult decisions?
She didn't love the idea, but I was like, mommy, it's going to be fine. It's Italy. It's like the best place to do solo travel if you're going to do it. She had been before with Carl.
Our stepdad.
So, but I didn't really ever get to talk to her about that. And I think that's something that I struggled with, like, not only just planning the trip, you know, especially towards, you know, after mommy had died, I was struggling to plan the trip, but also packing for the trip. Like, you remember, like, at the last minute, and I was like freaking out, and I'm just, like, what do I bring? And I really kind of had a meltdown. I was like, she should be here. She should be here to help me pack. And, like, I wanted her to be here to, you know, have this.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I can
dress up with.
Right. I can only help so much. Right.
Tell me what to bring. And.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just really hard. Like, just, you know, it's one of those moments where, like, I just want my mommy. You know, I want my mommy to give me her wisdom and experience, because she actually was a very experienced traveler from work, internationally and domestic. She traveled a lot. So I didn't have that. I didn't have that source of knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all those emotions are going through my head, you know, guilt, uncertainty, anxiety, everything was building up, and I was wanting to. There was a lot of times I thought about trying to figure out how to cancel it, but a lot of my loved ones encouraged me to go, and pretty much all the logistics had been planned out. So I'm really glad that they did, and that I did end up taking the trip. It was, you know, a nice break from just normal life and distraction, and I really needed that.
I feel that.
And it was Italy. So.
Amen. Ciao, bella.
It was gorgeous. Everybody was so nice. I just really needed that disconnection from the world.
Yeah. I relate to that very heavily. So, for me, my one of my more recent big trips after mommy passed was very different, because, like, for me, traveling is usually more about, like, who I'm with and where I am, kind of like I was talking about earlier. So my trip wasn't a solo trip. I was, you know, going with my little travel squad, and, you know, those are some of my closest and dearest friends, and we did something a little different than usual. Instead of kind of just going to a place and exploring, we decided to
book
an all-inclusive resort in Cabo. And that's a little different for us, because we're a little crazy, we like to party, we like to explore. And we definitely still did. The resort had space for that, and we could have gone down to the city. But this trip was definitely more focused on kind of sitting out, relaxing by the pools and the beach, and chilling with each other. We had the four of us hadn't seen each other together in quite some time.
So how just for those who don't know, how did you meet these people?
Yeah, my travel squad and I, we actually met on a trip to Greece.
You didn't know each other before then?
No, yeah, I had booked an itinerary basically through something called EF, Ultimate Breaks, and you know, you book your trip in an itinerary and then you go and other people that are on that trip are basically in your group. So I met this group of about 20 people with an amazing tour guide, and we all just instantly, I don't know what it was, we all just meshed, we all fell in love, became best friends, you know, like in Greece, we like held hands in the ocean and cried together, like just some weird cuckoo, like hippie shit, and oh, sorry, and it was a lot of fun, and it genuinely changed my life forever, that trip to Greece, and introduced me to basically these like platonic soulmates who now every time I travel, it's like it won't be the same without them because we just have such a weird other level understanding of one another and support system, and I don't really know how to describe it. But with this trip, I will say that as much as I love my friends, I had a lot of anticipatory anxiety about this trip because, and it wasn't so much about my friends, it was about me. I was really worried that I was going to unravel on this trip. It was my first time out of the house that my mom lived in, that I moved into after she passed. It was my first time thinking about myself in some time away from work, and just escaping, I guess, reality. And I was really, really afraid that I would spiral. I would break down in front of my friends. And not that, you know, they wouldn't help. No, that wasn't the anxiety. It was more so that I wouldn't be able to pull myself back together.
And you're in this other place. And
yeah.
That's not home.
Right. And I would just be, you know, I would just, if I managed to come back from this trip, that I would just be the same, you know, person I was months before my mom passed away, where I was just bed rotting and stuff like that. But I think we can talk about that a little later. But yeah, on the trip, we definitely had our fun. You know, I definitely channeled some of that partier. But I also definitely had a breakdown or two, you know.
Yeah.
About my mom. And I'm just so, so fortunate. My friends were there, supportive. They did not leave my side, even though I totally told them.
No, they were, because they actually, I don't remember if I told you this, but they reached out to me and were like, Yusuf is having a hard time. And I didn't see it until later.
What? I had no idea.
But I really appreciated that. And I was like, thank you for having my baby's back. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I'm going to cry. That's actually so sweet.
And also, it's weird because I felt like there was like that first day or something that I was like, what? I feel like something was wrong with you. Mm. And you didn't respond to our text messages. And then you responded like, I think the next day. I was like, I need a text to know that you're okay and alive. I just need one text every day so that I can sleep.
Yeah. No, they were so sweet. Like, I told them, you know, like, if I start going cuckoo, you know, like, you can leave and go do your thing, go chill by the pool, go get a drink, and like eventually I'll probably level out, or if you come back to the room and I'm not leveled out, you know, let's make a game plan. But you know, I did not want them to feel the burden and pressure of having to baby me. And they did, you know, they did not leave my side. They held me, supported me, you know, some of that stuff we talked about last week. They didn't try to explain it away. They didn't try to make sense of the situation.
They just heard you.
They just
and saw you.
Yeah, they just saw me, held me, understood me, and loved me through my pain.
What was the thought that was like, was there a predominant thought that you were having that was causing the most pain?
Just
on this trip, I know
really
we're not
just
getting into grief,
yeah,
but
no, really just why and how it happened. Yeah. I think I really let myself get to a place of spiraling because I couldn't make sense of the situation.
And then I think when you're traveling, there's a vulnerability to traveling because you have a lot of things out of your control, and so because our mom was traveling when she passed away, maybe there was some of that.
Yeah.
Connection.
And I think there was also guilt because I was having fun. I was partying. I was definitely having a few drinks. And I think, like, in my head of heads, I was like, oh my God, I'm drinking. Like, this is what killed my mom. I'm surrounded by a bunch of kooky drunk people. Like, you know, yeah. I think it was, I think I was also a
to
little...
To be clear, she was killed by a drunk driver.
Right.
She wasn't drinking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. and I think there was a little bit of that. There was that guilt coming in, and then, like, how could I be here living and partying?
Yeah.
You know.
So this travel experience, which is, you know, supposed to be fun, but then when you're in the middle of grief, it's like everything after while you're grieving is that dichotomy of, am I allowed to smile? Am I allowed to laugh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm grieving. And yes, you can.
Yeah.
But hopefully people will...
For
and it
sure.
sounds like your friends did give you that space to say, like, it's okay for you to have fun.
Absolutely.
It's okay for you to be sad and happy at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, like... I'm just so lucky they were there to kind of be there with me because, yeah, like, after that, after my little breakdown, you know, the next morning I was spring chicken again. Oh, my God, I feel so good. I got all that stuff off my chest, you know, all that grief, well, not all of it, of course, but some grief, some processing.
Yeah.
And the next day, guess what? We're ready to go back to the beach and hang out. And, like, we met so many new people on that trip that just loved us and our energy and wanted to travel with us again in the future and... You know, because even in our, like, lowest lows, or I guess in my lowest lows, you know, like, we still just have this weird main character energy when we travel, my friends and I. And we really, really usually struggle when our trips are over because, again, like I've talked about, this weird platonic soulmate codependence we have. But this time was really difficult because it was struggling with what I was coming back to, you know, this reality. You know, coming back to this house, or, you know, it's basically just living in a trigger, surrounded by triggers, just coming back to the real world. But I will say, like, the positive about it was that, you know, I'm really lucky. I have a great job, and I actually missed my job. I missed my babies, and, you know, every time I saw a baby on the trip, I was like, like, going back into work mode. So I think it was a healthy break, and I think that it was the perfect amount of time. It was about a little less than a week long trip, and it really, it was refreshing, even though it was something to be anxious about at first. I quickly lost that anxiety once I saw that, you know, I'm in a safe space with my friends, and, you know, I will get through this, you know.
Yeah. And do you feel like you learned something about yourself on this trip that was different than your other trips before or your other trips with this friends? Like, was there something you learned out of this trip? Like, even just one thing? Or?
I would say I learned something about myself. I would say I learned that, you know, our parents really instilled this resiliency in us.
Yeah.
And I can channel that when I need to. Because, like I'd mentioned before, there was this really, really big part of me that was so anxious that I would just unzip, unravel, and go back to the, you know, person I was months ago, even before mommy passed, this unmotivated, you know, even before the grief, really depressed, not really caring what life has to offer person. But I learned that, like, I can and I will zip myself back up again and get myself moving when I need to, especially when I have, you know, angels in my life that I think, like, you know, mommy put these people in my life. You know, Carl, my friends, like, even though they didn't meet mommy in person, they, you know, they would talk to her on FaceTime and stuff. And there was a lot of, like, synchronicities and signs when we were there that made me feel like I was supposed to be there.
Like what?
You know, like the angel numbers, you know, numbers lining up, or like, I don't know, something like me and my friends, like three of us would say something in sync at the same time, even though there was like not context for it, you know, like just weird little synchronicities like that, that made me feel like I was supposed to be there and that my mom was supporting me being here, that my mom, that the universe wanted me to be here because I think all those cosmic forces kind of recognize that, like, traveling with these friends isn't just like a hee hee ha ha ki ki. It's like, this is important to me. These are important people to me. You know, these are important people for my life and well-being in a weird way because, it's like a soul feeding experience to be with them. I also learned, like, kind of like you mentioned, that it's okay to have fun and process your trauma at the same time, or at least do both in a time and place, and that, like, I don't have to feel so guilty about it. I'm allowed to feel excited to travel and see my friends. And I also learned that cacti are huge. They're so big. I was on that resort. There were like so many.
Have you never seen a cacti?
Not in
before?
Real life. I've seen pictures.
Did you not ever visit me?
Pictures
in
of TV shows. Well, I was little, so everything was gonna look big when I visited you in Arizona. But oh my god, these cactuses were like looming over my 6'2" self. I was like, what's happening?
Where were you that you were seeing cacti?
Cabo, baby.
Oh, really?
Big cacti.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Did you eat any?
No, but my friend did like get injured by one somehow. Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Just probably walked into it.
Probably
but...
sat on one.
Well, anywho.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so that's awesome. I learned a lot of stuff too on this trip, that because I think again there was just so much unique about this. This is the first time to Europe, first time to Italy, first time by myself internationally. That was just so much there. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, I was in a different season of my life for this trip than I might have been for my last big international trip. So now, because I'm a mom, I was like, after about that 1 week mark, I was like, I miss my babies. Like, I was starting to feel a little homesick. And so I was like, okay, now I know 1 week is going to be a good amount of time. Mm-hmm. I probably don't want to go much longer without my kids.
Honestly, my friends and I usually stick to a week, too, because, like, our bodies just can't handle.
Well,
the cuckoo-ness for a week.
No, but I just, like... You know, I think there's a thing, too. Like, you feel like your body recognizes it's out of its routine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if it has to do with routine and habit. Yeah. You know, some people say it takes, what, 7 days or something to build or break a routine or something like that.
Well, I mean, a habit is, like, 3 weeks. But, debunk that myth. But, no, for sure, like, after a couple of days, especially for me, there was, like, a 7-hour time difference on top of it.
This was your first solo trip.
Yeah.
Like, since having kids and everything. So, like, you're gonna feel that absence.
Well, yeah, like a long trip for sure. So, I think that was something I learned was, you know, just I don't really want to be away from my kids for that long. And using common sense, you know, just using common sense, no matter where you are, is always gonna do you good. Just be careful with, you know, people are nice and cordial and hospitable, but sometimes you still need to be careful with the invitations you receive, especially when you're a female solo traveler.
Absolutely.
I actually did a mix of hotels and hostels, and I really liked that I did like a hostel in Rome because it forced me to talk with people and socialize, and they had like activities in this common area, sort of food area, and I love that because I like met some really cool people. Mm-hmm. And otherwise I might have stayed in my room all day, like, just because I was in Italy doesn't mean that I was going to be like perfectly
right,
not depressed and not anxious anymore, and so it was good to be like, it was accountability for me almost in a way to feel like I needed to get up and get out of bed and do things. So that was actually helpful for me on this particular trip, maybe just because of everything that's going on. Mm. I'm not sure if I would do that. Now, certainly if I had, like, other people or family with me, I probably wouldn't do that. But also I think the big thing was being solo.
Right.
So doing what I wanted, when I wanted.
Yeah, it was your little eat, pray, love moment.
It was, but, like, in a way, it was just, you know, so many people will say, oh, my God, you have to do this. You have to see this. Right. You can't miss this. And honestly, what I would say is it's great to get advice, but also do what you want in your heart of hearts. So if you don't care about architecture, but you love food or vice versa, or you're really into art, or, you know, not really into the outdoors, customize your trip to what you want to do.
Yeah, and a place like Italy is great because they have everything. A little bit of everything. They have that history.
A
they
lot
have
of
art.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly. Of amazing. Course, the food.
Yeah,
like,
no, you
hot
can...
men. I'm sorry. everything there.
Yeah, no, you can. It's there is everything there. Yeah, but. I think that's one of the things is another thing when I was planning the trip is a little bit of pressure from people to almost like make their to do what they wanted me to do. And I was like, thank you for
yes,
the advice.
I was like, go out and have a fling, mama. I was like, find a beautiful olive toned Italian man and have a ball.
And you know what? I didn't want to do that. Yeah. That was not interesting to me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see beautiful landscapes, eat some good food, see what culture is like there, what's unique to the area. And I got to do all that. So that was really good. The pace of life for those who've been to Europe can appreciate. It's different. And the food is amazing, but also very different in each area. So I went to three different areas, the north and the south, and that was something else I found interesting was that you've got
they do not like each other.
Well, it's interesting because you know you think sometimes that especially us Americans we can be very sort of like tunnel visioned and single-minded and sort of think the world revolves around us,
right?
And you realize the commonalities and differences in other countries. So just like sometimes there's thoughts between the North and the South in the U.S.,
right.
They have that in other places, too. They have these, like,
the
preconceived
Italy has
notions.
A South too.
Yeah, and they have this idea that, like, you know, not this idea, but there is definitely
a bit of segregation between, not segregation, but, like, attitude towards one another.
Yeah, and in the sense that, like, the North was historically had more money and the South had less. And so sometimes I wondered if there was this idea that people looked down to people in the South a little bit. Again, I'm not an expert on any of this, but you just catch some of this stuff as you're reading and learning and you're there. And it's funny, I sat down with the Airbnb host who was amazing, and we were just chatting about this stuff, like how the U.S. is and how Italy is, and we're like, see, there's so many differences, and there's so many things that are the same.
Similarities, right.
So that's the kind of stuff that I love about travel, you know, sitting down and having a conversation with somebody, meeting somebody from another state in the U.S., meeting somebody from Australia, meeting somebody from Ireland. I just loved that. Like, that was
so let me ask you, what are some... like practical tips. So you're like a lot more type A and organized than I am. So what are like some practical things about traveling that you might have learned or picked up on this trip?
Yeah. So I'm like a crazy person, but practical stuff was, you know, a lot of the stuff with your cell phone. So making sure you've got your cell phone in order, you've done all your updates ahead of time, you turned off your background cellular data. If you're going to do an eSIM, have that ahead of time. If you're using the Wi-Fi publicly, make sure you have a VPN. Do not.
What is that?
A VPN is a virtual private network.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I'm glad you asked that because it's, you cannot trust the public Wi-Fi because people can jump in and get your private information. So sometimes people will go internationally, use the Wi-Fi, and then a couple weeks later they see some weird charge on their credit card and it's an issue. So definitely get a VPN. They're not that expensive.
Yeah, if you like are ever on YouTube, like every YouTuber has like a discount code for a VPN.
Yeah, right. Right. Maybe we'll get one.
Maybe,
one day.
Yeah, one day. Keep listening. Leave a comment.
Maybe if we get enough listeners, we could get some sponsorship. But also learned about the transportation systems. They're pretty easy to navigate there. But there's websites you can go to find out about strikes because they do have a lot of strikes there. So kind of, you know, learn that ahead of time and make your alternate plans. get all the local apps. So most countries, they'll have Uber and Lyft sometimes, but they'll also have their own taxi apps. And so you want to find out what the one is for where you're going, or even the city that you're going into. That's really helpful to find out what the local apps are. And I also really was grateful that I had downloaded like the Google Maps offline, because I made, being the type A person that I am, I basically saved all the places I want to go to on Google Maps. So I had like an Italy map of all the places I want to go to. So if I'm standing somewhere, I could look at my Google map and be like, oh, there's that restaurant I really want to go to. And I could make notes about it. Like, you know, this is what you should order here.
Yeah, one thing you mentioned that was interesting is the strikes, talking about transportation. I think it is really important to kind of, I think it's something we, as people who kind of live in our own bubble, might not always think about, but it is important when you're traveling to look up the current, like, political climate of where you're going.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point.
You know, make sure it's safe for you and who you're traveling with, and also, you know, like, this isn't to say there's anything wrong with, you know, the people being on strike. You know, we always support people on strike.
No.
But
the security alerts is another good point that when you leave the U.S., you can set up alerts. I'll have to find the website and link to it in the show notes. But basically, they will send you alerts for anything that's going on. Mm-hmm. So while I was traveling, there were some things that happened. So then I started getting emails that, you know, be careful, there might be a higher terrorist alert for this area. So for sure, that's another thing with the DSS. You can set up safety alerts.
Cool. What other tips do you have?
Flights are insanely cheap within Europe. Like, it explains so much why they're so much more cultured than us and speak multiple languages, because it's so easy. You hop on a fast train or a $20 flight and you're in another place. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Amazing. I'm so jealous. I am so jealous of their transportation systems there.
For sure.
Like, and they have these cute little carry-ons. I'm sitting there in the airport. You know, we're just the land of excess here. So it's just like looking at these tiny little carry-ons they have. And, oh, I just loved it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of the world still sees, like, small as, like, reasonable and cute.
Oh, my God. Speaking of small, okay.
Yeah, like, food portion sizes and stuff.
Food portions. Cars. If you go to Italy and decide you want to drive, then please don't get anything bigger than a Fiat 500 or some version of that. Because, as I can say from personal experience, the parking spots, everything is really tiny. So, yes, there is definitely, it's not bigger is better over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep, yep. But that, I feel like those are some kind of practical things that I noticed, and I could probably do another episode on that stuff, but just do what you want to do, what your heart is going to find joy in, and
definitely.
So that's why I don't want to say, like, you must do this or you must do that. Like, I will say that Rome in the day and Rome at night is such a different view, and it's
for sure
gorgeous. They have done such a good job lighting things up there that I was like, that was one thing that I was like, you have to see Rome at night. You know, you just have to do it.
And, you know, like, I think it can come across very privilege that we are just encouraging people to go out and travel.
My gosh,
you know, not everybody has the time or the money or, you know, the space for it. But I also do think that, like, you know, I'm sitting next to living proof that, you know, travel doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be exorbitant. It can be practical and, like, get what you want out of it, and
for sure
you can be satisfied without spending an arm and a leg.
For sure. I mean,
I hope you guys keep listening, because I'm sure we'll do more episodes on travel and how you can cut costs and budget for your trips and make it very efficient and still satisfying and affordable. But with that being said, this has been our fourth episode of Katamita, and we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you leave some feedback and comments about places you've been, things you've learned, maybe if you've had an experience with traveling after a seismic life event and how it impacted your trip and outlook. We would love to hear all of that. We do have our Google Voice number that you can call into. It'll be in the show notes. And or you can leave a comment. Thank you so much for listening. We love doing this. We can't wait to bring you more. And
have a good day.
Have a great day. Bye.